Well, good afternoon. This is Per Fogring back again with our Peak Oil special programming. And our guest is Tom Whipple, who has been writing, kind of keeping track of oil prices and anything to do with oil now for quite a while. With I read him on the Energy Bulletin, which is an excellent website. And he is also writing for a newspaper in Falls Church, Virginia. And I think you can probably see his writings elsewhere. Tom, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, welcome to KBOO.
Thank you.
How long have you been tracking peak oil and all that other stuff?
Well, I've been writing about it for about 4 years now. I've been tracking it, somewhat longer.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the current interest in peak oil started in the about 2004.
Yes.
Uh-huh. When the prices first took off. The modern era began about 10 years ago, when people first started becoming concerned for the second time around about world oil peaking. But nobody got very excited until demand went flying up and prices went flying up, and then a lot more people started paying attention, including me.
Uh-huh. So now you told me, I met you in Sacramento at the big peak oil conference there. Now, you used to work for the CIA before that, is that right?
Yes, I retired there a long time ago.
Uh-huh. You were an analyst then?
I was an analyst there 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
For a long time, but retired for a long time.
Uh-huh. And you told me you a friend of Ray McGovern, who's been on KBOO a few times.
That's right. Yes, I know Ray very well.
Uh-huh. So where are we on peak oil now? The price has gone back down again. I think the high was up about 147 a barrel. Now it's about 100.
About 100 this afternoon. Yes.
Uh-huh.
And jumping around wildly. It went down $10 earlier this week and came back again. So
now, how do you explain that?
Well, right now the price of oil is being driven almost entirely by the financial situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's tied directly to it. If people think Congress is going to solve the financial situation with some sort of big bailout, oil goes flying up, the theory that all will be well. If something goes wrong, like they vote it down, oil goes flying down, the theory that the economy will collapse and nobody will want the oil.
So what is it? I would guess that the reason for that is that things are at such a precarious balance that it doesn't take very much to send the price either
exactly
up or down.
Supply and demand is very precariously balanced now.
Uh-huh.
The fundamentals are that oil production really has not increased for the last 3 years.
Okay.
What it is. It's been flat at about 86 million barrels per day.
Mm-hmm.
Not what anybody does, this sort of thing. And the demand is just about that. The price has obviously gone flying up in the last 4 or 5 years because of increased demand, which has forced a lot of the poorer countries in the world out of the market. All around the world, an awful lot of people are simply turning off the lights. They can't afford $100 oil.
Right. That's kind of sad because, some of these people in the poorer countries, they really, they need the oil much more than we do in some ways. They use it for heating and cooking.
I know. It's becoming very sad. It's a very unreported story in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sort of thing you can find on the web out there just by looking at local newspapers. But all across the subcontinent of Africa, of Asia, you've got anywhere from Pakistan through India through Nepal to China. They're just in very serious troubles there.
Uh-huh. Basically, they're doing without.
They're doing without. The lights are out for long times during the day. Some of that's because of the drought from the hydro missing, but an awful lot of it, they simply cannot afford to pay for the oil. And this sort of thing. These countries just have not that great an income. They're doing okay at $20 a barrel, but went up fivefold. That was just way beyond what they could do.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the sadder case, a lot of the small islands around the world, Saipan and, you name it, there's a zillion small, we hear from them very occasionally, and they simply cannot afford the oil, period. Their electricity is totally oil-fired, and they simply can't afford to run more than a few hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the effects of peak oil really have started already. We're just not appreciating here in America, other than whether we're paying $3.50 or $4 a gallon.
Right,
you can appreciate that. But
mm-hmm.
still, except for this hurricane problem we've had the last couple of weeks in the South, there's still availability. They just have to pay for it.
Right.
Having said all that, our consumption in the U.S. is starting to drop. $4 is getting to people.
Tom, you are the editor of the Peak Oil Review. Can you tell us something about that?
Well, that is one of the two publications for the Association for the Study of Peak Oil USA.
Mm-hmm.
This is an organization that was formed back in 2005, and it grew out of sort of we call it ASPO, A-S-P-O. It grew out of an ASPO in Europe, which is sort of a one worldwide ASPO for the first 3 or 4 years, and they decided to split up into national ASPOs. So the ASPO USA was formed in 2005, and at their first meeting in Denver that year, they decided to start up a couple of publications. So we do a daily publication called the Peak Oil News, which essentially just clips of information from the, you know, the world's wire services and newspapers pertaining to peak oil. And then we do a weekly, which is about 6 pages long, that we draft ourselves. And we sort of like to think of a sort of executive summary of peak oil. We try to tell you what happened during the past week, you know, all over the world that pertains to how soon world oil production will peak.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually put a commentary in the back of it. They're available on our website, or we'll simply email it to you for free if you'd like.
Oh, really? Okay, well, I see the website here is www.aspo-usa.com. Okay.
So they're available. They're available on there every day.
Uh-huh.
And we think we do a pretty good job in, you know, tracking the whole peak oil situation.
I know you mentioned tanker trackers. Are these people who kind of just sort of somehow they keep track of the tankers coming and going?
Well, yeah, that's professional business. One of the interesting aspects of oil is that most of the countries in the Middle East make it a deep dark secret. They don't tell you how much they produce and export.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, this whole thing has inspired a breed of people called tanker trackers who simply have somebody down at the docks who watches the tankers load up.
Wow, so this is a way of penetrating the little
veil. These guys, they sell their service for lots of money.
Uh-huh.
One of them's in Geneva, a couple of them are in England. And they simply have representatives down that watch the boat, so they watch how low they fill up with oil. And they, you know, I think they usually find out where they're going. And all you have to do is count the boats, and it gives you a pretty good idea what was exported the last every day.
Oh, that's really interesting.
That sort of thing. And they're the ones that sort of give you the first clue as to whether, say, Saudi Arabia's production's gone up or going up this month.
Uh-huh.
By the middle of the month, you get a pretty good idea whether these guys have been watching these things for decades, so they have a pretty good idea, you know, what the normal rate should be and how fast these things should fill and how many should show up each day.
Wow.
So by the middle of the month, they generally release a little bit of it in public, the uh-huh. detailed stuff they sell for a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
But they generally manage to get themselves on the wire services somewhere in there, a little publicity for them, saying they think Saudi production went up a few hundred thousand or down a few hundred thousand.
And then it winds up on ASPO's Peak Oil Review.
That's one of the things we watch, of course. We, of course, are watching world production and trying to, you know, determine just what the evidence is that the whole world, the world production is going up or going down.
Mm-hmm.
So far, since we've been studying, it's been basically flat. It hasn't moved very far.
Right.
in the last 3 or 4 years, so it hasn't been too interesting. But we think, you know, the composite thinking, we'll call the whole peak oil community, which is not just ASPO, but it's a whole bunch of people interested in this and follow this,
mm-hmm.
that we probably have another 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
Before world oil production peaks. And the way they arrive at that is they look at how much oil is being produced in the fields around the world now,
mm-hmm.
fairly obviously public number. They make an estimate, and that's a little bit messier, about how fast it's depleting. As you pull oil out, obviously fields dry up, you know, one by one,
mm-hmm.
wells dry up. And then they look at how fast the projects are coming online to replace them. Who's drilling a new oil field somewhere, and how much is expected to produce, or when it's going to start producing.
Mm-hmm.
And by summing all those numbers together, you can get a pretty good feel where we think world oil production is going to go in the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, the answer seems to be in about 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
The depletion is just going to simply get ahead of production.
Right.
Now, the big ringer in this whole thing that everybody's concerned about right now is what is happening to the world economy.
Yes.
So if the world economy really tanks, well, then all bets are off. You know, the demand for oil could go down very rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
People obviously aren't, you know, they, no place to store it. You can't eat the stuff. So
right.
They simply start, if people aren't going to buy it, you know, they aren't going to produce it. They aren't going to pump it out of the ground. And the world production could drop off very quickly here in the next, you know, weeks, days, months, year or so.
That'll actually conserve it a little bit longer then.
Well, that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in effect, sort of messes up. It's got nothing to do with the geology of the whole situation, whether or not, you know, you can produce it, just nobody wants it.
Right.
Nobody can afford it. This is what we call sort of masking the peak.
Mm-hmm.
If this happens, obviously world oil production will drop. The peak will have probably been a couple of years ago, and if world economic troubles go on long enough, we'll never catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Simply, if money gets tight, obviously people aren't going to go out and drill new oil wells. These are getting very, very expensive to drill.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to slow up projects. They're going to start pulling money out of projects, not starting new projects. So even though we're not using as much, we're still pulling an awful lot of the ground. Remember, we're pulling 31 billion barrels of oil out of the ground every year.
Mm-hmm.
That's an awful lot of oil.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's basically what the measurement of peak is.
So it's like every time they say, wow, the price of oil went down, but it takes a depression to do it. Now, that's hardly cheering news.
That's what the problem is, sort of thing. Then, of course, you've got the whole OPEC equation in here. OPEC is already muttering.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to see oil under $100 a barrel.
Right.
Because somebody did the arithmetic, and they say, hey, we need $90 a barrel just to meet our budget this year.
Mm-hmm.
So what does OPEC do? Well, they simply, cut production. Price goes back up again. So I'm not optimistic that, even if we get a worldwide recession here, you're going to see much of a drop in oil prices.
Right. So
prices. Because, they get the same money or more just by cutting production.
So I think we're going to have to leave it up there. The outlook is very cloudy, to say the least.
It's cloudy. It's right now, whatever they do in Washington, this financial thing, the
mm-hmm.
bailout or wherever this happens to go, and I sure don't know. It's up in the air right now.
Now, we might talk about that later on in our next segment, but we've been talking with Tom Whipple, who is the editor of the Peak Oil Review with ASPO USA, and the website is www.aspo-usa.com. Anyway, thank you very much for being with us. Well, I guess he already hung up. Anyway, that was Tom Whipple we were talking with, and I think it'd be really worth your while to check out that aspousa.com, and you can sort of subscribe.